Today's scripture reading is from Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad among the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth.
Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 8 through 17 and 25 through 27. Philip said to him, Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but to the Father who dwells in me. But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I've said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you what I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." May God add his blessing and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Two scriptures that appear together at Pentecost. This is Pentecost Sunday. That's when the Holy Spirit came upon the people in Acts chapter 2. Whoops. Well, I guess I won't be using that light today. And these two scriptures are together because one creates confusion and one creates unity, undoes what was done back in Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 11, the people decided to build a tower that extended to the heavens. What's wrong with that? Can't we build a tall building if we want to? No one knows exactly how tall said building was. The Book of Jubilees, which is an Ethiopian version of Genesis, that did not make the Bible canon. It claims that the Tower of Babel, as it is called, was 8,150 feet tall. Now, maybe you don't have the height of buildings in your mind, and I certainly did not. For comparison's sake, I looked up other tall buildings. The current tallest building in the world, and I may be mispronouncing it, it's in Dubai, and I believe it's called the Burj Khalifa. It was built in 2010, and it's 2,722 feet tall. Okay, the Tower of Babel was 8,150 feet tall, allegedly, according to the Book of Jubilee, which did not make the Bible canon. We all remember the World Trade Center towers. And when they were constructed 51 years ago, they were at the time the tallest buildings in the world, and they were only 1,362 feet tall at that time. So the current tallest building is almost twice as big as that building, which is just hard to imagine, but there it is. And the Tower of Babel, if the Book of Jubilee can be trusted, would be over six times greater than the World Trade Center. This all seems impossible, that something that tall could have been constructed, especially given what we know about building technology. It takes engineering to build tall buildings that don't fall down. But, of course, this building did not stand. It didn't last for very long before it fell down. Scriptures make it look as if God knocked it down. But either way, whether it stood or not, or how long it stood for, what's wrong with building a tall building? I would suppose nothing. In fact, the text doesn't insinuate that the problem is the tower. The problem is the mindset of the people, as evidenced by the way they were talking about themselves as they built it, and whether God decided to respond to what they were saying. First they said, "Let's make bricks." And God did not intervene. Then they said, "Come, let us build a city and a tower with its top to the heavens." And God did not intervene. Finally, they said, "Let us make a name for ourselves. If we don't, we'll be scattered." Then God intervened. Something about making a name for themselves bothered God. Is there anything wrong with making a name for yourself? Don't we all want that? Whatever our profession, don't we want our names associated with competence or integrity or diligence? What's wrong with making a name for ourselves? Again, nothing per se, except that a name symbolizes so much more than a name. When someone is successful, we say their name is golden. When they are humiliated, we might say their name is mud. The name we make for ourselves, or what others impose on us, doesn't change what's on our birth certificates. It doesn't change what's on our Social Security cards. But the word name, properly understood, symbolizes so much more than that. It's a reputation. It's a power ascribed. And so when the people of Babel are talking about making a name for themselves, they're saying, we want to become our own power. We want to do this apart from God. We have a great idea, and it's our idea, and God has nothing to do with it, but we don't need God because we've got our own power, and we can build our own buildings. And God sees that and says, they're going to think they can do anything they want, and nothing can stop them. And so God stops them in the book of Genesis chapter 11. God wants to lead the people, but the people prefer to lead themselves. This struggle is an ongoing struggle that goes on throughout the course of the Old Testament. Those of you who read the Bible all the way through, the people of Israel always have their good idea about what to do, and it's not God's idea, it's just their idea. And so they keep going back and forth, doing what they think is right in their own eyes, not consulting God for what's right in God's eyes. And after back and forth, hundreds of years, good kings and bad kings, eventually their society is destroyed, some 600 years before Jesus arrives. Jesus arrives and then says in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He also says, if in my name you ask for anything, I'll do it. Okay, we're talking more about the titular name of Jesus. We're talking more about what name would have appeared if they had birth certificates on his birth certificate. Jesus is, when he's talking about his name, he's not just talking about the word Jesus. He's talking about who Jesus is. And Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. I am the Father, and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what the Father looks like, look at me. He thought he was God. And not everyone agreed with him. But he felt that if you said something in his name, you were saying it in God's name. Jesus' birth name is something that we've gotten wrong for centuries. His name in the Hebrew is actually Yeshua. Joshua is what we pronounce in English. Joshua was one of the great figures of the Old Testament. Joshua was the one who, you know, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, right? And the walls came tumbling down. He's the one that led the Hebrew people to the promised land. So a great figure in Jewish history, and lots of people named their kids Yeshua, which is how Joshua was pronounced. They didn't have a hard J in their language. So the idea of saying Jesus or Joshua wasn't something they could do. It was pronounced with like a Y sound, Yeshua. And then as the New Testament's written in Greek, Greek doesn't have a sh sound. So they can't say Yeshua. It would be more like Yeshua. Or they have the hard J, so they'd give it the J, Jeshua. But they wanted to make everything masculine. So when something was masculine in the Greek, it would have to end with an us. Claudius, Fabius, Sempronius, all those towns in central New York, right? All of them end with an U.S. These towns get that name from Greek language. And in the Greek, they decided to give Jesus a masculine name. So they took Jesh, and then added us to it. And it became Jesus. And that's the name that stuck. And it has stuck for hundreds of years. It's going to be Jesus forevermore, the way we pronounce it. So is that why? Is that why when we ask for things in the name of Jesus, we don't get what we ask for? We're using the wrong name. We should be saying, in the name of Yeshua, please, help me find my car keys, Yeshua. Students, right now, as the final exams are coming up, help me pass this test, Yeshua. Or, you know, not funny in our world. Help me get through this unspeakable tragedy, Yeshua. I don't think the problem is that we're using and pronouncing the wrong name, and that we haven't done the proper word searches to find out what the actual name of Jesus was when he walked the planet. Now, the whole point of this discussion about names today, whether we're talking about people making a name for themselves in the Tower of Babel, or in the name of Jesus, it's not the name that we pronounce that matters. This is not some kind of an incantation that we do. This is not some kind of a magic spell like you might read about in Harry Potter, where you say a certain word and certain things happen. Asking things in the name of Jesus, it's not about using the right name. It's about summoning the will and the purpose behind it. And that's God's will and God's purpose, because Jesus, as we call him, was all about doing God's will, even to the point of death on the night before he was taken away, saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." So it's not really the word that we pronounce, it's what the word symbolizes, and the symbolism is for the will of God. His birth name happened to be Yeshua, but his significance is much, much bigger than that. As he says about himself, "I and the Father and one." He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. His name is more based on his cause, which is the salvation of the world. So really, when we're asking for things in Jesus' name, we're asking for God's cause to be served. "Please accomplish this so that the world may be saved. Please accomplish this so that God's will may be done on earth as it is in heaven." And if we ask for things in using Jesus' name, we know God would not want us to have. If we ask for things using Jesus' name and it's things that God doesn't want us to have, then we're kind of taking the name of the Lord in vain. "Oh Lord, give me that Lamborghini I saw on that show. Give me that mansion that I saw." You know, those preachers out there misuse scriptures like that. You know, Jesus said, "Ask anything in my name and you will receive it." And so there's phony preachers out there that are saying, this is what they used to say 40 years ago when a Cadillac was the car everybody wanted. They would say, "If you're going to ask God for a Cadillac, you better name the color because he'll give it to you." And those are falsehoods. I suppose if God wanted you to have a Cadillac, or a Lamborghini for that matter, can't imagine why, but supposing God did, these things are possible. But it's really what we're asking for. In Jesus' name, we're saying in God's will. So, Pastor, can't we pray anything in the name of Jesus anymore? After what you've just said? I'm saying quite the opposite. What I'm asking for myself and for all of you, for all of us, for Christianity throughout the world, is that we all get aligned with what Jesus' name symbolizes. And that's the will of God. The power of God to save the people. God's cause must be our cause. And when that's the case, we can ask for help even for something as small and mundane as helping us find our car keys. We can ask for the healing of illnesses in accordance with God's will. We can ask for help through life's most difficult challenges. The people in Babel were building the tower, trying to make a name for themselves. God wanted them to be doing things in God's name, for God's purposes, for God's kingdom, not their own. By the way, Yeshua means, Joshua means, God is deliverance. We don't deliver ourselves. God delivers us. The first martyr was named Stephen. And, you know, that Pentecost moment that we read about this morning was so exciting. It's hard to imagine what church must have been like at that time. The Holy Spirit was just working powerfully through those congregations, through the assemblies that they would have. God was doing new things every day. And people were filled with the Holy Spirit. People were filled with the desire to do God's will. And it didn't even matter whether they lived or died. And ultimately, you come up with the first martyr of the Christian faith. His name was Stephen. He spells his differently than my mom spelled mine. And before Stephen was stoned to death, shortly after the Pentecost moment that we celebrate today, Stephen declared that Jesus was the only name by which you may be saved. And the descendants of those who had been scattered in Babel all those centuries ago, they didn't like to hear that. And they put Stephen to death for saying it. They were interested in their name, not Jesus' name. They were interested in their will, not God's will. They were interested in their purposes, not God's purposes. And they were blind and not listening to what God was trying to do and say through them. Jesus said it about himself. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Why would he say such things about himself? You know, we have to decide, is he for real when he says this stuff? Or was he just a crazy man with delusions of grandeur? You've got to make that decision. Who was Jesus? Who is Jesus? Whatever name he should be called, Yeshua or whatever, who is he? I want you to know where I stand on this. Yeshua, Jesus, is the Son of God. And you, rather than making a name for yourself, I encourage you to put your faith and trust in the name that is above all names. Yeshua, Jesus, the Son of God.